Sonia is at your disposal.
Okay.
And I think she can tell you where the bodies are buried, strengths and weaknesses.
Good.
You know, things long-term, short-term. She's happy to do that.
Good morning.
We have a pre-gamble statement about the flag lowering for the...
Yeah, let's do that first, and then we'll do the World Environment Day. We can do all that first.
So before we begin the council meeting, Commissioner Salzman has an announcement about our flag outside, and then we'll begin with a discussion about World Environment Day before we start the formal council session. Commissioner Salzman.
Thank you, Mayor. Today, the flags of the city of Portland are lowered to honor the newborn girl who was found dead at a Portland recycling center on the morning of May 28th. Since April of 2009, we honor children who have died from abuse, neglect, or violence by lowering our flag. This marks the 10th time since 2009 that the flag has been lowered. This newborn girl is by far the youngest and in some ways one of the most tragic cases. She is the only one without a name, the only one without a family or guardian claiming her. Someone out there knows something about this girl and about this case, and I implore you to contact the police or to leave an anonymous tip with Crime Stoppers. You can leave the tip online, text CRIMES, or call 503-823-HELP. All of this information will also be posted on my website and my Facebook page. The least we can do for this child is get some answers and give her a name. I would ask that we have a moment of silence for this young girl. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner, and thanks for all that you and everyone in this community are doing to try to reduce the terrible incidents of domestic violence in our city. We had an announcement yesterday that Commissioner Salzman has organized a more coherent effort between the city and the county to make sure that people that have been brought into the criminal justice system because of domestic violence are indeed more assuredly relieved of their weapons. And that's one more thing that we can do to keep this community safe. So thanks for what you're doing. Good morning. We will call the Wednesday, June 5th meeting of the Portland City Council to order. Will you please call the roll? Caller.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Novick.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Hales.
Here. I'm going to begin this morning with something that I think the council was looking forward to because we had a presentation in this chambers back in February getting ready for this day, and that's World Environment Day. So this is World Environment Day. Portland is one of a number of cities around the world and one of a few that are playing a special role in that. We have some special guests here this morning. I'm going to call first Ann Nelson from our Bureau of Environmental Services to come forward because this is both a local and an international effort. To thank you for your work on this issue on behalf of a team of city staff who have been preparing us to be in the spotlight today as a world environment leader, and ask you to introduce our, or in some case, reintroduce our guests from the United Nations Environmental Program and ask them to come forward for a few minutes before we do a proclamation. So, Anne, thanks for the work that you've done, and good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Mayor Hales, commissioners, city staff, managers, the whole community of Portland has been incredible stepping forward and accepting this honor. I'd like to introduce Amy Frankel, who is the director of the Regional Office of North America of UNEP, who has graced us with this honor and has some congratulatory remarks.
Please come forward, Amy. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. It's a delight to be here this morning in Portland to celebrate World Environment Day. And on behalf of the United Nations Environment Program, I'd like to thank the people of Portland for so enthusiastically embracing and supporting World Environment Day, especially you, Mr. Mayor, and the City Council members for accepting this invitation. I'd also like to congratulate Portland for being on the cutting edge of sustainability and for all that you've done to promote this United Nations Day, which is celebrated in over 150 countries around the world. The aim of World Environment Day is to stimulate awareness and action on the environment, and I can confidently say that the people of Portland have risen to the challenge. I do want to recognize also Anne and the great work that she has done, also the WED Committee, World Environment Day Committee, the Rose Festival, Intertwine Alliance, and the many others that have made this possible. I've got a short statement if I can talk about the focus of World Environment Day this year, which is on food loss and waste. And the slogan is reduce your food print. Now, when I first heard about this, I thought, well, how is food waste and loss related to the environment? And I became a believer as I understood the facts. First, every year about one-third of all food produced is never eaten. The scale is just appalling. About 1.3 billion tons of food, which is worth about $1 trillion, U.S. dollars, is wasted every year. That also means that a significant amount of the tremendous resources, such as energy, water, fertilizers, that go to producing such food is also squandered. Global food production is the single largest sources of greenhouse gas emissions, the largest source of biodiversity loss and land use change. And in the U.S., about 80% of water that we use goes to agriculture, about half of which is lost. At the same time, there's nearly 900 million, about 870 million people worldwide, or one in eight, that go to bed hungry in the world every day. So the challenge before us globally is how do we address the hunger issue, making sure there's zero hunger in the world, which governments agreed to as a challenge in Rio de Janeiro last year, while we address this issue of food waste and grow from 7 billion people on the planet today to about 9 billion in 2050. So today, actually in a few moments after this meeting, we're going to be launching a UNEP and World Resources Institute Global Report on Food Waste and Food Loss, which offers a whole range of solutions to how we can address that challenge. We'll be having a press conference, and I invite all to attend. I can't think of a better place to launch this than in the city of Portland. Portland's a leader in so many areas, but including on this issue. For example, the composting program, which is helping to reduce the staggering proportion of food that is wasted, engaging businesses in the Fork It Over campaign to connect different entities, grocers, restaurants, to people that need the food, and also, of course, some of the great organic farming and farming practices that reduce the inputs from the natural resources that are so scarce and becoming scarcer in the world. The majority of the world's population now lives in cities, which will only increase as we add 2 billion people to the planet. And so we really need to learn from cities like Portland, how can we do this better? How can we do it right? So once again, I just want to thank, on behalf of the United Nations Environment Program, Mayor Hales and City Council and all of the citizens of Portland for accepting our invitation. We greatly look forward to celebrating World Environment Day with you today and hope it is the beginning of a long and fruitful partnership. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Amy. Thank you for being here. Thanks. I want to welcome and recognize Tom Hughes, president of our Metro Council. Tom, would you like to come up for a minute and speak for a little bit about Metro's role in the environment, both in land use and solid waste and many other ways?
Well, I said in an earlier discussion with Amy, one of the things that makes Portland, the Portland metropolitan area, unique is the existence of an elected regional government that has to represent people from the 25 cities and three counties that go to make up the metro region. One of our main responsibilities, of course, is collecting the garbage. And so we have a key role to play in how that is done and how we encourage people to recycle, reuse, and not put as much into the garbage stream as they have been. Portland is uniquely successful as a region in that we have about a 55% recycling rate, which puts us among the top in the United States. Portland's effort towards food recycling or food composting is something that we support and have worked to try to work over the little hiccups and bubbles of starting up a new program, and I think we're on our way now to making that program a model for the rest of the cities in the region. And it is with an eye to the other cities in the region, the other 24 cities in the region, that I speak on behalf of the region, that many of those cities are also engaging in sustainability efforts, and several of them have actually hired sustainability managers. And so as a region, collectively, we are moving in a direction that sets us as a model for the rest of the world. As I've said to many people, I think as recently as the City Club speech not too long ago, that becomes a marketable commodity as we go to places like Japan and China and other places that are trying to figure out how to do on a larger scale, in some respects, what we do on a moderate scale here in Portland, and take advantage of our expertise as in architecture and engineering and some of the other skill sets that Portland can market in the We Build Green Cities campaign that Greater Portland, Inc. has launched along with PDC. So we think that it becomes a real serious economic development tool for us to have the reputation. And certainly the United Nations selecting Portland as a place to have today's celebration, one of the places to have a celebration, moves that image forward and puts us on a map that very few cities are on right now. Thank you very much for your leadership in that as a city and as individuals, and we appreciate the work that we do together to make this the cleanest, greenest region in the United States and in the world.
Thank you, Tom.
Mayor, may I first say?
Please.
Tom, since you're here, congratulations on the passage of your natural area levy.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish.
We're very pleased that Portland voters, I think, gave you the margin of victory.
I believe that was true.
On that, and I look forward to joining you tonight for my first meeting of the Regional Water Consortium Board.
Yeah, I look forward to that every month.
I look forward to being a commissioner that actually attends those meetings. So
excellent.
We'll see you then.
If you could tweet me about that, that would really help.
Tom, thank you so much
for all you're doing
and for the partnership we have with the Metro Council.
Thank you.
Thanks. Well, now it's my privilege to read our proclamation for today, which says, whereas on February 13th, 2013, Portland City Council hosted the United Nations Environmental Program Regional Office of North America and passed a resolution to accept the nomination to host World Environment Day on June 5th, 2013. And whereas Portland, Oregon, recognizing the inextricable links between individual, community, and environmental health, joins 120 countries to forward sustainability through awareness and action and to support the World Environment Day theme of reduce your footprint. And whereas the people of Portland have been celebrating World Environment Day every day since Earth Day, April 22, 2013, this celebration has included events to build rain gardens, support farmers markets, restore natural areas, reduce food waste, certify 50 backyards as backyard habitat, remove invasive weeds, celebrate floodplain restoration, and build community gardens, a lot of them, actually. And whereas, as a part of World Environment Day, the Audubon Society of Portland, the Urban Green Spaces Institute, and the Intertwine and Alliance Partnerships are celebrating the 27th annual Great Blue Heron Week. Only Mike Houck could do that so well. To highlight Portland's official bird.
That was indigestion.
To highlight Portland's official bird by offering walk, bike, and paddle trips and restoration activities at the places great blue herons call home. And whereas World Environment Day will include an exhibition of children's water paintings at the 22nd International Children's Painting Competition on the Environment, sponsored by UNEP and Bayer, and hosted by PSU's Native American Student and Community Center. First Lady represented us there yesterday for the art opening. And whereas this year, the Portland's Rose Festival is highlighting our beautiful Willamette River with dragon boat races, environmental themes in the Grand Floral Parade, and a special World Environment Day children's celebration in the Rose Zone on June 5th, and whereas Portland tribal nations demonstrate how indigenous culture enriches our world through the preservation of oral history, cultural arts, and traditional ecological knowledge in collaboration with arts, cultural, and educational institutions, and whereas the City of Portland is a recognized leader in innovative policies, plans, and programs that foster sustainability through the City of Portland and Multnomah County Climate Action Plan, Portland Recycles Plan, the Urban Food Zoning Code, the Portland Bicycle Plan, Portland Watershed Plan, Invasive Plant Strategy, and the Portland Plan. And whereas the City of Portland is advancing environmental initiatives globally as an innovation partner with the Northwest Biocarbon Initiative, as a member of Biophilic Cities, and as an award recipient from the International Green Roof Association for our pioneering work. Now, therefore, I, Charlie Hales, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, Herons, and Environmental Stewards, do hereby proclaim June 5th, 2013, to be World Environment Day North America, and encourage all Portlanders to observe this day by participating in activities to advance the livability of our green city. Thank you all, and congratulations. We do have some testimony on this item, so we'll take that as our guests go prepare for their press conference. Thank you all for being here.
We had four people sign up, and first three, please, coming up are Sandy Polishek, Adam Brunel, and Mike Houck.
Good morning. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Mayor and members of the council. I'm Sandy Polishek. I'm here today to congratulate and thank you for hosting World Environment Day North America. I'm a member of 350 PDX, the local branch of 350.org, a global organization founded by Bill McKibben and friends to solve the climate crisis. Why do we call ourselves 350? Because scientists tell us we must reduce the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere from its current level of 400 parts per million to below 350 to preserve our planet and stay below 2 centigrades of warming. Otherwise, we risk catastrophe for life on Earth. Here's the math. We can emit 565 more gigatons of carbon dioxide and stay below 2 degrees centigrade warming. The only problem is burning the fossil fuel that corporations now have in their reserves would result in emitting 5 times that amount. Fossil fuel companies are planning to burn it all unless we rise up to stop them. Last November, Bill McKibben and 350.org hit the road to build a movement strong enough to change the terrifying map of the climate crisis. Portland was the second stop on the national Do the Math tour, filling the Congregational Church and spilling over to a simulcast in PSU's ballroom. The tour launched a campaign to get cities, universities, churches, and other entities to divest from fossil fuel stocks, to put pressure on these companies by taking away their social license to continue business as usual. If it's wrong for these companies to profit from our planetary demise, then it's also wrong for Portland to have investments in fossil fuels. We know you're busy right now with the budget, your new bureau assignments, but we want to let you know we'll be back to ask you to assess our city's financial holdings for fossil fuel investments and divest from them if any are found, and to make a commitment for the future. It's the right thing to do, especially for a city with a robust environmental community, a strong commitment to climate action, on the cutting edge of environmentalism, as we just heard, and such strong environmental stewards. It was a pleasure listening to all the wonderful things we are doing as a city for sustainability, and I would like to, in the future, see this divestment added to that wonderful list. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sandy, I just want to say that I asked the treasurer for a list of our investments, and I looked through them, and I actually did not see any fossil fuel companies on our list.
Mm-hmm. Do we have investments in mutual funds? Or
I think that we have investments in a state fund that a bunch of local governments use together to perform necessary transactions, and I don't know what that contains, but in terms of the direct city investments, I did not see any fossil fuel companies on that list. That doesn't mean we shouldn't consider adopting a future policy, but for right now, it looked okay to me.
Well, that's great to hear. Thank you, Steve. Thanks.
Morning.
Morning. My name is Adam Brunel, and I am a lead organizer for 350 PDX, the local Portland chapter of BillMcKibbins350.org. Like Sandy said, I am proud to live in Portland, and even prouder that it will represent North America on World Environment Day. Portland has made a big commitment with its ambitious climate action plan that addresses CO2 emissions and also plans for resilience. The main target is 80% reductions in CO2 by 2050, below those 1990 levels. This is an enormous challenge, even for Portland, but it is a challenge that the city has deemed worth taking on, and one that I am eager to help with. Portland's climate action plan begins with the following. Climate change is the defining challenge of the 21st century. The world's leading scientists report that carbon emissions from human activities have begun to destabilize the Earth's climate. Billions of people will experience these changes through threats to public health, national and local economies, and also supplies of food, water, and power. In other words, the stakes are high. Sandy mentioned the 2,795 gigatons of carbon that sit unburned in fossil fuel reserves. That's five times more than the planet can tolerate. And as I speak to you, fossil fuel companies are plotting out exactly how they're going to burn that carbon and make as much money as they can by doing it. Their responsibility is not to the climate or the interests of society as a whole, necessarily, but instead to profits, whatever the cost to the climate, our security, and our ecosystems. If they have their way, they'll push us and our planet and its systems past the 2 degrees tipping point five times over. So the city of Portland, given its commitment to climate action, should not tie its investments to companies, and it looks like we may not do that already, to corporations that blow up mountains, pollute streams, spill into rivers and oceans, sicken people with contaminated water supplies and highly toxic fracking chemicals, and also spend millions of dollars to distort the political process and halt the increasingly necessary climate action. So I ask that the city consider performing or releasing an existing audit of its investments, equities, and holdings so that it highlights any direct or indirect fossil fuel investments. Should the city discover those investments, and most cities do have them, I hope Portland doesn't, but it is my hope that the council will live up to its well-deserved reputation here with UN World Environment Day and freeze any new investments in fossil fuels as well as divest any existing investments over the next 5 years. A dozen cities have already done this, including Seattle, San Francisco, and Eugene have pledged to pursue divestment, and I hope that Portland can put its name on that list as well. So thank you for your time, consideration, and happy World Environment Day.
Adam, it's my understanding that the state, through the PERS system, may invest in fossil fuels. Is that correct?
That they may divest?
That they have fossil fuel investments through
PERS.
That's
my understanding, too.
So that might be something that we should consider as asking them to divest.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning, Mary.
Mayor Hales, commissioners, my name is Mike Houck. I'm here representing the Urban Green Spaces Institute today. And just last night, I finished reading this fascinating book. It's called Ghost Map. Mm. And it traced the outbreak of cholera in London in the 19th century. And it, you know, went through a very interesting epidemiological study showing they finally figured out that it was from a bacterium, not miasma. But what the book did was then describe how London went about protecting its people by, of course, creating the world's most amazing sewage treatment system. And what I found interesting was at the end of the book, they specifically called out Portland and described Portland's system and how fabulous Portland's system is. I want to read a quote from the book. Cities are a force for environmental health as well as human health. This may be the most surprising new credo of green politics, which has in the past largely associated itself with a back-to-nature ethos that was explicitly anti-urban in its values. Dense urban environments perform the crucial service of reducing mankind's environmental footprint. What he left out in his analysis of Portland's sewer system was the green infrastructure, the green part. And as you may not be surprised, when I find his email address, I'll be sending him a note for his next publication. Perhaps he'll include that as well. I speak all over the country, and we have a lot of folks coming to Portland, and they routinely ask me and others, what makes Portland different? Is Portland's acquisition of natural areas, the park system and so forth, unique in the country? And I say, no, not really. I mean, Minneapolis, St. Paul, East Bay Regional Park District, New York City have fabulous systems. What they don't have is our commitment to a small urban footprint through regional and local land use planning. So combining those, combining both an attempt to reduce our physical and ecological footprint for the city and the region, combined with making sure we're protecting and restoring green spaces within that urban growth boundary and within the city is what really truly makes us different. And I want to thank all of you and Tom Hughes as well for realizing after many years of struggle that a tight urban growth boundary does not mean we forego the good green stuff inside the UGB. So thank you again for all the work you've done, and we look forward to cooperating in the future on similar efforts.
Thank you, Mike. Same on our side. Thank you. Thank you all. I think we have one more person signed up.
Bob Solinger.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Bob Solinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Portland Audubon Society. First off, I just wanted to thank you all. I testified a few weeks ago that we felt the budget was potentially going to set us back a long way in terms of our green infrastructure. At a time when we were celebrating our accomplishments, I really appreciate the changes that were made by the mayor and council. I feel like we're back on course, and the agreement that we're going to work together to figure out what the next stages are is very exciting to the environmental community. So I just wanted to, first of all, express my appreciation for the thoughtful way you went through the budget this year. Secondly, I just wanted to offer two invitations. First, Willamette Riverkeeper and Audubon are going to do an upstream migration paddle this Saturday from Kelly Point Park to Cathedral Park. It's a great opportunity to come out on the river with the public and learn a little bit about some of the challenges that are occurring on the river that you all will be facing over the next couple of years. So we'd love to have your participation in that, and I can get you more information. The second is an invitation and perhaps a challenge. One of the components of World Environment Day for the city was to certify 50 backyards as backyard habitat. That's a program that's jointly run by Audubon and Columbia Land Trust. We made that target. They folks had to work very, very hard, so thanks to Galen at Columbia Land Trust and Nikki on our staff for doing that. We're actually certifying about 500 yards a year, and it's a great complement to some of the other work that's going on. The green streets the city is doing, the trees in the right-of-way that Friends of Trees are doing, our program gets into people's backyards. So the invitation and challenge I wanted to issue to you today was to have your own backyard certified. We would love to be able to say that all members of the Portland City Council are certified as backyard habitat. So again, thank you, and congratulations on World Environment Day.
I would have to resign from the council to do my yard work, the amount that's over the past 4 years. But I do have a side yard that is very back here, that is native vegetation.
We have three tiers, so you can start out very small.
All right, one day a week I could take off.
And we also have signs for yards that are in progress, so you can at least be on the road, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for your advocacy. Great. Any other council comments on the resolution and on World Environment Day before we move on to the rest of the calendar?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I would just think that we should commend two people and one entity on this day. I'd like to remember Ed Muskie, who wrote the Clean Air Act, and Richard Nixon, who signed it, and to give a shout-out to the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which is one of the most carbon-efficient forms of nutrition.
Carbon-efficient.
True.
Carbon-efficient.
Gary Hart was busy running George McGovern's campaign, preparing for it. Another, right?
Not everyone remembers that President Nixon was an environmental president. So one of the things we can count on from Commissioner Novick is this kind of historical knowledge of American politics. Thank you. Other comments? Thank you all very much. We look forward to the rest of the celebration, and we'll move on to communications.
Item 515, request of Donna Cohen to address council regarding the Fessenden St. Louis Safety Plan.
Good morning.
Hi, everybody. Nice to see you all. My name is Donna Cohen, And 6 months ago to the day, I was here to express concerns about the process for developing the St. John's Truck Strategy Phase 2 plan. Today, I want to share three personal reflections. I'm pleased to say that we did develop a solid plan, which is now going for funding through ODOT and Metro. The through trucks are gone on Fessenden. The community is thrilled. The Portland Police Bureau has done an outstanding job of enforcing the law. And many of us take every opportunity to thank them individually when we see them. However, it did take a year and a half, news articles, 900 petition signatures, and mediation in order to achieve the agreement with the city. In many ways, the Peabot staff did not display respect to the community for quite a while. We were given information that was incorrect. Things were misrepresented. I hope that what I say here will help change the situation for future projects. We were fortunate to have a research librarian at our disposal to check claims that Peabot made. And I want to give you one example of how that was helpful. We were told that at the intersection of Charleston and Fessenden did not qualify for a red pedestrian signal beacon. This is an intersection at a blind curve over which 1,000 children live, and it is the primary route to our downtown. We did some research, and we used the guidebooks, the national guidebooks that Peabot uses, and discovered that, in fact, with the addition of some information they had left out, we did qualify. Secondarily, they had said that they had taken pedestrian counts, and we did our own. And in one of the meetings, we asked them, did you, in fact, take these counts? Because we didn't see it in the documentation. And they kind of looked at each other and asked you, did we take these? Did we do this? And they hadn't. So they had made claims based upon something that they hadn't done. And finally, there was research that we discovered that, in fact, the Peabot consultants were using themselves, saying that even if our counts had been low, there are situations where an intersection is so dangerous that you won't have pedestrians there because it's so dangerous. People just avoid it. So I just want to give that as an example of, you know, how we really had to work extra hard to find out what we deserved. We intend to keep track of the progress of this plan, and I also want to say on a related note, I look forward to the day when the culture of bicycling important is such that including a recommendation for in the bike lanes to have at intersections, the treated intersections, markings that say bike stop for peds is not something that is something that is accepted with more enthusiasm than it was in this committee. It took a while to get it through, and that should be pretty easy. So thank you very much.
Thanks. Thanks for your advocacy. Thanks.
516, request of Joe Walsh to address council regarding equality.
My name is Joe Walsh, and I represent Individuals for Justice. We have a ceremony that we will present. This is a citation and an election of the mayor to the Hall of Fame of Dictators. Ye, all people of goodwill, gather around, celebrate the final and lasting event of the dictator of the year of 2013. Mayor Charlie Hales has earned this recognition even though he has only served 5 months in office. We acknowledge that he will not change his ways soon, so the short time of consideration is really irrelevant. And considering his accomplishments, his dedication to lay upon the backs of the middle class, the poor, and the houseless, all responsibility to close any gap, if it be $25 million, $21 million, or maybe even $16 million. is hereby acknowledged. Its cuts in social programs, but saving the Mounted Police Patrol, were surely a defining factor in this award. But his manner in which he told or not told these decisions to members of the council was also a major issue for this award. So we congratulate you in joining such notables as Mussolini, Joe McCarthy, Stalin, and of course, that infamous Governor Ronald Reagan. Second part of my presentation is it now been 49 days since you screwed over Gallagher Smith. Commissioner Novick, in a maneuver, took it out of the emergency and put it in so you could have a majority vote. It was outrageous. We will watch it. You are being fined now at 9%, and if it was your money, you would settle this case. But it's all money. If you lose this case, I hope every one of you resign. Because you will, even though you're a labor lawyer, that commissioner, and a union lawyer at that. And you voted for this. You have people outside that have been out there for 18 months. They're homeless. They want the camping ban lifted. But you congratulate yourself on your environment and your record. And that is a shame. You should be ashamed of yourselves, not patting yourselves on the back. This is a good city, in spite of you. There is wonderful environmental programs in spite of this council, not with your approval. That's it.
Thanks, Joe. Next, please.
517, request of Lightning to address council regarding ending homelessness in Portland, Multnomah County.
Good morning.
Morning. My name is Lightning. Ending significantly reducing, effectively managing homelessness in Portland, Multnomah County. Now, if we could end homelessness in Portland, Multnomah County for just one day, what would happen? Would news get out to the other states, and would we have an influx of people expecting housing? If the successful plan we utilize in Portland, Multnomah County to end homelessness is then utilized in other states, people then will have no incentive to move. Now, businesses which claim they lose 10 to 30% revenue due to homelessness, would their revenue begin to increase? Revenue absolutely would begin to increase, which means businesses' value increase, also property values increase. Let's talk numbers. If business revenue, business value, property values may be losing 10 to 30% overall, estimated loss could be $50 million to as high as $500 million total losses per year. Total losses attributed to homelessness throughout the city could very well exceed the total general fund of approximately $400 million. Solutions. A 1,500 plus minus people sleeping on sidewalks, under bridges, in doorways, total $10,000 per year apartment for each, lump sum total $15 million. Apply for grants from various foundations. Have any grants been applied for on behalf of the 1,500 plus or minus homeless? What type of response did you get? If $15 million is invested, which in turn the city's overall business revenues increase by 10 to 30%, that equates to as much as $50 million to $500 million. Isn't that the best solution? New development projects needed. A cookie-cutter Bud Clark Commons located close in East Side. Mental health, drug, alcohol treatment service. Permanent housing, 200 to 300 units. Developer, Homer Williams, EB-5 Foreign Investment Financing. B, North Northeast. Multnomah County Chairman Jeff Kogan, this is your legacy. Wapato Jail, homeless shelter, 400 to 500 units. Mental health, drug, alcohol treatment, permanent housing. C, then establish a lightning revolving revenue developer plan, 1% on any condo sales paid by developers into an end the homeless general fund. Repetitive, consistent, money will be there. Simple truth. Doing nothing for the 1,500 plus or minus people sleeping on sidewalks, under bridges, in doorways will eventually cost more than the overall general budget. At that point, general public will have no other choice except to reduce the city employees' salaries. We will reduce your salaries if the homelessness does not end and is managed better.
Thanks, Lightning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks.
Item 518, request of Charles B. Ormsby to address council regarding Bureau of Environmental Services projects that excluded Birds Hill, CPO, and A. Mr. Ormsby called, and he will have to reschedule.
Oh, okay. And then 539, please. 519, please. Sorry.
Request of Silas Covert-Keefe to address council regarding a relationship building between East Portland and the city.
Morning.
Good morning. My name is Silas Covert-Keefe. I'm a community development major at PSU, and I was here last week. I had really quickly on the bus ride here last time shifted what I was going to talk about instead of Gilbert Place to relationship building, so I kind of just shot out a bunch of, like, oh, come to this. So I went back and just, I want to re-invite you to those things, but I have places and times and dates. So the first event I'd like to invite you to is the just a normal neighborhood association meeting for Palhurst-Gilbert neighborhood. It's at 7 p.m. at Ron Russell on the 10th, which is next Monday. I'd also like to invite you to the East Portland Neighborhood Board. We have a meeting at 6:30 on the 19th at the EPNO building, which is off of 117th and Gleason. And I'd also like to invite you to the East Portland Action Plan meeting, and that'll be at 6:30 on the 26th, which should be a Thursday, at the David Douglas High School boardroom. I also want to say thank you, Mayor Hales. You came out to the Lentz neighborhood. I don't know if it was at the end of May.
Last week, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you. I mean, that's big. We like to see you guys out there, and that's exactly why I'm here, is just to invite you guys to those kind of things. All right, and that's all I needed to do. I don't want to eat up all your time. Thank you.
Thanks, Silas. Appreciate it. Okay, we'll move to consent calendar. I don't believe we have any items that have been requested for removal from the consent calendar. Are there any now? If not, then a roll call on the consent calendar, please.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Time certain, 5:21.
Approve recommendations made by Children's Levy Allocation Committee for fiscal year 2013-2014 grant funding.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, everybody.
Commissioner.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. As many of you know, on May 21st, just last month, the Portland Children's Levy was overwhelmingly renewed by voters for another 5 years. We are thankful to Portland voters. They chose again to make children a priority, and by their confidence that we are making a difference in the lives of some of the neediest children in our city. Today, Portland Children's Levy Director Lisa Pellegrino is here to ask the council to approve one-year grant renewals for levy investments for the final or fifth year of the current levy, which runs through June 30th, 2014. And she will also provide a brief on the timeline for the next funding process, next funding round, for the next 5 years, which will culminate a year from now in making new grants and new grants or investment decisions beginning in July of 2014. Our current investments are in areas of early childhood, after school and mentoring, child abuse prevention and intervention, and foster care. Under the new levy, starting in 2014, we will add a new investment area, preventing childhood hunger. We're pleased that we will be able to do all of this at the same tax rate that voters have always been paying for the children's levy. And just to remind people, the levy operates with a 5% administrative cap, so that 95 cents of every dollar
goes directly to the proven programs that achieve positive results for the city's most vulnerable children. And now, Levy Director Lisa Pellegrino.
Good morning, everybody. Well, as Dan stated, we're here before you to ask for your approval of the Allocation Committee's recommendations for grant renewals this year. So I'll give you a little bit of background, and we'll go from there. I don't want to repeat Dan too much, but we've just renewed the levy again, and we're adding hunger this time around. Right now, we're invested in about 65 programs that reach more than 10,000 Portland children and families.
Lisa, can you move closer to the mic?
Oh, sorry.
There you go.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. So the areas that we invest in, as Dan described, are early childhood and child abuse prevention and intervention, helping foster children in foster care succeed, and in after-school and mentoring programs. So the slide just gives you an idea of some of the types of programs that we fund, things like parenting education, after-school activities that do academic support, intensive case management for at-risk families, families at risk of child abuse or neglect, and intensive case management for kids in foster care. So this kind of gives you a little snapshot of who we serve, and with all these pie charts. Basically, sort of overall, we serve about 63% kids of color. About 37% of the kids that we serve reside in East Portland, which is east of 82nd Avenue, as we interpret it. And about a third speak a language other than English in their home. So we're reaching in the kids who are most likely at risk for disparate outcomes and academic success. So as Dan said, We try to use our tax dollars wisely. We're independently audited every year. We operate with a 5% admin cap, and all staff are classified as admin. We monitor programs and do regular site visits and go out to folks, and you can see with the materials we presented, we do monitoring of performance of contracts and kind of on an annual basis. Grantees are selected through a competitive process, and the 5-member allocation committee makes the decisions in public. This gives you an idea of how the money is divided up between the different program areas. We spend about a third on early childhood, about a third on after-school and mentoring, and about a third on child abuse and foster care, with the last bit for administration. This is just a map that kind of gives you a sense of the spread of the programs. It doesn't quite capture it because there's lots of locations. You would have a map with only dots if I really showed you where things were, but this is the best we can do. The allocation committee currently is Dan as the chair, and Multnomah County Commissioner Deborah Cofori sits for the appointment of the county. The city has appointed a citizen representative, Julie S. Young. The county's position is currently vacant. The last person just resigned, and they're in the process of replacing her. And the Portland Business Alliance just selected Mitch Horniker to replace Ron Belts, who had been serving since the beginning of the levy. So those are the folks who will be making decisions going forward. So the preview of the levy renewal, as Dan said, we were just renewed in May. We will be starting new grants on July 1st of next year, and we will be giving grants on hunger to do hunger relief and hunger prevention this time around. Just to give you a sense of the timeline, we're in our community input phase officially now, so we'll be out talking to a lot of folks all over the city about what the kinds of priorities and needs and gaps they have. We'll be analyzing that information and giving it to the allocation committee in October. And we'll be integrating that input along with research and performance metrics that we've looked at over time in October and November. Have a funding application ready to publish in January. And then we will be making decisions in but no later than middle of June next year. So that's kind of the process as it will roll out from here. All the specific grants that we're asking for you to renew, that's what's all in your packet. So I won't run through all of those. And that's that. Is there any questions or comments?
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you. Questions for Lisa? And anyone else that signed up to testify on this item, Carla?
No one signed up.
Great report. And this is an emergency ordinance, so we're ready for a roll call.
Fish?
First, congratulations are in order to Commissioner Saltzman for the renewal of the levy. And I believe you raised virtually all the money. I think every time this comes before the voters, you get a better response, and it would not happen without your leadership. So congratulations.
Thank you,
Lisa. Thank you for the most succinct presentation in the history of council. it was even speed read, so I think I followed part of it. And the programs which you're supporting are really vitally important to the health of our children, which is our most important resource. So congratulations, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank the staff of the Children's Levy for all their hard work.
And it's not easy keeping our admin at 5%, but it's a commitment we make to voters, and it's written into the ballot measure. And that ensures, as I said earlier, 95 cents of every dollar goes straight to the programs, making a difference in young people's lives. When we begin our new funding round for the next 5 years with a renewed levy, I can easily predict we will get many, many more requests for money and investment than we have dollars available. So the challenge for the five-person allocation committee is to really make sure that we stick to our mission of investing in proven programs, those that have been demonstrated track records of success, and our investments go to expand their capacity to serve more children and families. You have my commitment that we will continue to do that, but it is tough when we have lots of organizations who, as Lisa said, all of our allocation committee meetings are conducted right here in public, and the room is filled with many organizations that are hoping to be selected. So we will have our work cut out for us in the next year. But I'm pleased to support renewing the existing investments for one more year of the old levy. Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for your ongoing work on this. It's an example of where the city and the county work together beautifully and focus on the needs of the children of Portland to provide services. I'm particularly appreciative of the focus on equity in the distribution of the grants and the fact that there are many culturally specific organizations serving communities of color and particularly low-income folks who don't always get a share of the grants as well as don't always get a share of the services. So it's, an exemplary performance in this report and a wonderful program. Thank you for your leadership. Aye.
Hales?
Great work. Obviously, Commissioner Saltzman, this work's got a vote of confidence from this council, but it also does from the community. And that's a great basis on which to keep this success story going. Aye. Okay, let's move to the regular calendar. And I'm going to be leaving the council for another presentation at some point here in the next few minutes and turning the gavel over to our council president. But we'll at least get started and see how far we get.
Okay. Item S534. Extend a street closure pilot program in the Old Town Entertainment Districts through parts of Northwest 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Avenues between West Burnside and Northwest Everett on certain days and during certain hours.
Second reading and roll call.
Fish.
One issue that came up in the last hearing we had was the question of the 6 months to assess whether this is going to be successful or not. And I just want to be very clear that nothing in this action we're going to take today precludes the council from bringing this back sooner, if it is the will of the council. So we're embedding in this that in 6 months we're going to have a report. But if it requires fine tuning or adjustment sooner, nothing precludes the council from doing that. So with that understanding, I'm prepared to give this the time to sort of bake. We did hear a lot of concerns from business owners that it was costing them business. We heard concerns from residents about impact on their ability to maintain a normal life, like park their car and sleep. And frankly, I do have ongoing concerns about the blatant disrespect that is demonstrated to people who live there, not by choice, but out of necessity. It is an area that has a high concentration of affordable housing. It's dedicated to people in recovery or whose incomes make them eligible. And I don't remember us writing into those leases that a condition of being in that district is that they have to forfeit a good night's sleep. So I am committed to working with you, Mayor, and others to get this right. And finally, I do believe this concept of spinning off some group, whether it's a business improvement district, local development corporation, or some other nonprofit entity, that can be focused on the needs of this unique district has a lot of merit. And I think that if it becomes a question of whether we get dedicated funding for this from some source, whether a surcharge on parking in that district or somewhere else, I think we should be creative in looking at that because the best solutions are homegrown. And for now, we're putting up barricades and we're putting a heavy police presence. The sustainable long-term path, though, is giving the folks who live and work there a big voice in how that district's going to operate. So I appreciate that you, Mayor, have taken the time. Whatever reservations I have about this is mitigated by the fact that as a leader, you've actually spent time in the district at odd hours of the day observing and listening and learning. And I think you deserve deference on this to see whether this approach works. I thank you for the work you and the leadership you've shown. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
I share Commissioner Fish's concerns and recommendations, and I appreciate those comments. Looking forward to seeing the formation of a task force to help make decisions, which is very much needed. And I encourage the mayor to appoint at least two representatives of residents in the district to that task force, including at least one representative for people who live in the affordable housing in the center of the street closure area. This is an ongoing process, and I certainly am committed to continuing to follow it and to listen to all sides and make sure that we continue to work with the community, all the communities, including communities outside of this particular area. But certainly those most impacted need to be very much involved. Aye.
Hales.
I want to thank my colleagues for those recommendations, and I want to incorporate those right away, and I hope you'll keep them coming, because it will be an effort of multiple bureaus of the city and a number of us in order to make this experiment turn into something more permanent that will actually achieve these goals of being a self-managed neighborhood success story rather than simply a damage control strategy, which is how it started out in the police bureau. I plan to continue to spend a lot of time on this particular issue and to also bring the energies and tools of the Portland Development Commission to bear in a focused way to make sure that we're creating upside and opportunity and improvement in the neighborhood on both a human scale and a physical scale. So I look forward to that work, and thanks for this support. Aye.
535, authorize a contract and provide for payment for the construction of the Eastmoreland Woodstock Sewer Rehabilitation Project, number E10269, for $12 million.
Before you begin, Dean, I'm going to transition and ask Commissioner Novick, chair of the meeting for a while. I have to slip out for a presentation, and I'll be back if it's still underway. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Marriott.
Members of the council, I'm Dean Marriott, Environmental Services Director. With me is Bill Ryan, our chief engineer. We have a brief presentation to make associated with a request for your approval to allow us to go to contract to do this sewer rehab work. And really, this brief presentation stems from some sage advice I got from Commissioner Fritz not long ago when she was talking to me about the fact that we come to council from time to time and often put these kinds of items on consent calendar and don't ever get a chance to just explain briefly what it is we're doing with our money as we do these sewer rehab projects, whether it be a collection system rehab or a pump station rebuild. In this case, it's a $12 million contract to do some sewer rehab work, and I'd like to turn it over to Bill Ryan. He can walk you through it very briefly, and then we'll be available to answer any questions you may have.
As Dean said, this is a $12 million project, and that is one of the larger projects in our sewer rehabilitation program. There's enough work to do in the sewer rehabilitation program that we are actually varying the size of the contracts so that we don't saturate any one part of the contracting market. We have a number of contracts that we're currently developing for the prime contractor development program down in the $500,000 range and all the way up to this $12 million program, or this $12 million project. The Eastmoreland and Woodstock project is a very large project. It's about 40,000 feet of sewer rehabilitation and will affect about 129 manholes in the street as well as 700 house branches. 72 blocks down in the Eastmoreland and Woodstock area will be impacted. I've put up a project map here, and one thing of interest in this map, and I'll elaborate on a little bit more later, but one thing of interest here is that you can see by the colorful, we call them jelly beans, where we are actually doing pipe replacement or pipe repair, that we aren't touching every pipe in the neighborhood. We have actually videotaped every pipe in the neighborhood, and we've chosen the pipes that we will be reconstructing or repairing based on their current condition. These are actual photographs from those videotapes, and I've got reams of these if there's something that really catches your fancy.